You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey now.
Good afternoon.
It's John and Gordy.
Happy Thursday.
Yeah. We're working our way to the weekend here.
Looking pretty nice out there.
Yeah.
Temperatures slowly inching up day by day.
I think you're right. 11 degrees right now.
Yeah, boy. We're having a heat wave.
We are.
Yeah. In the Dells, it's 13 up in Viroqua. Good old Viroqua.
Yeah.
It's just 8 degrees. La Crosse also at 8. Milwaukee, sunshine, 14. Everybody's seeing a lot of sunshine all across the Badger State today. So enjoy it. Clear blue skies in Madison. I mean, I hardly saw a cloud in the sky.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
Yeah.
It's crazy out there.
So it makes you know, it brightens the attitude a little bit, right?
No, it does. It does.
Feel like singing a song.
Walking in sunshine? Is that was it Katrina?
Skipping down the road. Katrina and the Waves.
That's it. Right.
Walking on sunshine. Yeah, let's see if we can find that one in the old jukebox. The John and Gordy jukebox.
Plug a dime in that jukebox and we'll be good.
Kick out the jams.
You know what I really like about this sunny weather is that have transition lenses.
Oh, yeah.
And those boy, cool. Do they get dark. And, you know, I could basically look at the sun. I could just look at it.
Really?
You don't want to do it for long, but, you know, I can see it. You wouldn't do that normally, but that's how dark the glasses get.
Those lenses have progressed over the years.
Oh, they
used
to
take forever for them to get dark, and then when they finally got dark and you went back inside, it took forever
to
get clear. But now, man, just like that.
It's
they're
really
ready to go.
They're really great.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about getting some sunglasses with transition lenses.
Will they be AI sunglasses?
Well, no.
Or could you get clip-ons for your AI glasses? That'd probably screw everything up.
Well, actually, the AI glasses ordered, I could have ordered lenses that are transition lenses.
Yeah.
But then I couldn't get the prescription lenses, which is odd because you can really get prescription transition lenses if you want, but they didn't offer it, so I didn't get it. I just got the prescription.
Did you work out any of the bugs yet on the AI glasses?
No, I really haven't had a chance. You know,
should hand this over to Parker. Parker Olson, our producer today. He's a whiz kid when it comes to computers and AI.
You standing up?
I know.
I am standing up. I appreciate the standing desk over here.
Right.
So I got to put on my thinking cap, though, about this AI glasses business. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about this, John.
Those are really cool, but I have to figure them out first, and I think there's a bug or a kink in one of the abilities it has to address AI. It has proactive AI, which is listening to you constantly, and it does answer you constantly.
Not a fan of that.
But there is active AI, which means I just ask the question. It detects that and then answers it, but it's not doing that. And I haven't figured it out yet. Could somebody please help me, please?
Beyond help on some of this stuff. You know, Parker has actually figured out something that other producers have not figured out in there. Because that desk is one of those desks you can lift up, right?
Yeah,
you can lift
raises it up. And lowers.
Yeah. So there's no trouble with your mic stand at all, right?
Not too much.
It's perfect.
It's still not great, but it's better, yeah. It's much better.
If you're sitting down and the desk is in the sitting down position, that mic stand will not stay down.
No.
It's got the spring-loaded thing on it where it just will get just out of your reach if you're sitting down.
Dom
and
I.
You've figured it out.
Dom and I in the morning, we like to pull it down, and then it shoots right back up, and oftentimes it'll hit me right in the chin.
Really?
It won't stay there.
Yeah.
But this way,
it's not very nice.
It's just fine.
Yeah,
I'm using my big brain.
We kind of wish we had that desk in here.
Right. Yeah, that's right. These mics just don't, the stands in here, we were hoping we would be able to stand up, but if I stand up, the highest is I'd have to do this, like talk straight down all day.
And I'd have a real problem with it because I'm taller. So
well, yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
that's the way it goes. Little things like that.
We have blogger mic stands.
Yeah, that's a good.
What
way
do you
to
mean?
Put it.
They're low. They're low to the desk, so it doesn't block the face. Yeah. So yeah, that's why they have them in a lot of blog podcasts. So I don't know. I'm just, you know.
I never thought of that, John. You're really thinking now.
I'm overthinking it.
Well, that's what we do, though.
And, but, you know, I couldn't help but overthink it when we used to put the mics on books. Books were our mic stand for a long time, and I was sitting there just pondering, what else could we do with this?
Right? Well, that went on for a few months. But we finally got it figured out.
Yeah, now we got these nice, they were podcaster mic stands.
I think they were in back order too, so they had to come from a long way away. They
and did. The books were overdue, so we had to get some actual stands.
Yeah, we had
here.
To get those back to the library. Yeah. Okay, coming up a little bit later on, we're going to talk to Tom Kircher from Wisconsin Watch, and do a deep dive into data centers. Right.
That's right.
Is that the deal?
Data centers, yeah. The secrecy around data centers. We'll be talking to him about that, and he's coming up at 2:30.
Yeah,
2:35.
All right, and then of course we have Jim Santel at 3:30, and then Rocker at 4:30.
That's it. That's the big lineup today.
It's pretty easy to remember that.
It's jam packed.
We've got so many other stories to get to today. Greg Bovino. Border Patrol commander,
right.
Who is getting shifted to California, he's come out with an amazing statement, absolutely amazing statement.
Well, I haven't heard this yet.
And we're thinking, I had a discussion with my sons and my wife about this, but we're thinking that he was reassigned simply because they knew this video was coming out. And
oh, really?
It is, yeah, this is really a devastating piece of work.
Mm.
And
okay, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
We also
we'll get to that.
Have our Chula Vista getaway overnight stay. We'll give away another a getaway here for six people to go up to beautiful Chula Vista in Wisconsin Dells. The water park passes are included. It's an overnight stay. And we'll do that in the 3 o'clock hour, about 3:05 or so.
All right.
So that's coming up.
Well, let's get to Bovino right now. Why not?
All right, sure.
We set it up. Let's, what are they saying?
What?
Set up. You set it up. You
knock it down.
Knock it down. There
sure.
You go. So let's knock this thing down.
All
okay?
right, let's tee it up.
All right. This is, now he's getting transferred to his old spot in El Centro. Almost sounds fake, doesn't it?
El Centro.
El Centro. I'm going to El Centro.
Is that
in California?
California?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going back there. So anyway, this is a clip. I think they transferred him out of Minnesota because they were expecting this thing to come out. It's not good.
Oh,
so
no.
Let's listen to cut 434.
Arrest as many people that touch you as you want to. Those are the general orders all the way to the top. Everybody f***ing gets it if they touch you. You hear what I'm saying? Less legals. So you catch what I'm... It's all about us now. It ain't about them. Professional, legal, ethical, moral. You know what we're talking about. Legal, ethical, moral. You're on camera. But other than that, it's what we do.
This is our city. It is our F city. And that is it. And it's all about them, not about them. It's all about them.
It's
all about the ABC. Yeah, it's all about us, not them. So
that's dynamite.
And if they touch you, that's it. Take them in. Anybody who touches them is taken in. That is so explosive. This is obviously a guy who's completely out of control.
Right. And he just got reassigned? He didn't get fired yet, huh?
No, he's just reassigned because he was doing basically what they wanted him to do. Let's play the cut again just so we can hear.
Yeah, I want to hear it again.
Arrest as many people that touch you as you want to. Those are the general orders all the way to the top. Everybody f***ing gets it if they touch you. You hear what I'm saying? Less legals. So you catch what I'm... It's all about us now. It ain't about them. Professional, legal, ethical, moral. You know what we're talking about. Legal, ethical, moral. You're on camera. But other than that, it's what we do. F***ing city.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it's their city. Wow.
That's unbelievable.
And you could see that was the attitude of most of the agents there.
Yeah.
Right?
And if it's not on camera,
yes.
The implication is there, anything goes.
That's right.
Right?
Again, take anybody in who touches you. Anyone.
Wow.
No matter what.
It's
their city.
That's crazy.
It's about them, not about anybody in the city.
Mm. Phone lines are open, 855-752-4842. I think we got a couple of minutes here, and we got a couple of callers already. Let's go to Richard in Waukesha. Richard, go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, I got some eyes of the future from the past.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean?
When I was going to high school, we had a show and tell in a class, and my show and tell was the Beatles' Fool on the Hill song.
Yeah.
And the eyes out of it come because the fool on the hill sees the world spinning round. It's like our foreign policy just spins with the globe.
Does it spin around.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
the glasses.
Future glasses. Yeah. I like the analogy. Yeah.
I have AI glasses now, so I don't know. Maybe the future glasses are a little passe at this point. But Richard,
that's like 1967.
Well, right. We keep flashing back to the mid to late 60s.
I know, and I love the song, Fool on the Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turbulent
great
times.
Song.
Yeah. All right, Richard.
Except the version by
day, guys.
Yeah. Right. Except for the version by Sergio Mendez.
Oh, yeah. He didn't like that one.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, it was a little, it was pop.
It really was.
Latin pop.
I mean, it got the word out, right? It got the song out there, but.
Yeah, kind of a jazzy version.
Why did that become a big hit?
Why
aren't the Beatles, hit after hit after hit?
Yeah.
They would have these great songs.
Yeah.
And Fool on the Hill was not a great song. It really didn't come out.
Yeah, top 40-wise, I think it had already, the split between AM and FM was already starting to happen.
Yeah, I think that was it.
And I don't think they released it as a single either. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah.
Let's go to Troy in Mount Horeb. Good afternoon, Troy.
18 years in corrections here. So I know a little bit about that. And if they were holding to what he said, that if somebody touched them, they could arrest them, that wouldn't have been awful. But that's not what they're not doing any of that.
Right.
None of these people are touching them, and they're still tackling them and all this other garbage and, gassing them just because, shooting them in the face with gas, which is something else. I was gassed almost every year that I was in corrections. Mm. And that's another thing we weren't taught.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is kind of interesting how they taunt the protesters, and then they grab them and throw them to the ground, and then it makes kind of a free-for-all of ICE agents on the person.
And then once you throw somebody to the ground, they're going to start not even resisting but defending themselves.
Right, yes. Yeah. That's the deal, yeah.
That's their natural instinct.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. Thank you,
right.
Troy.
Have a great night.
All right.
Yeah, you too.
You too.
All right. Just getting going on a Thursday afternoon. It's John and Gordy. Stay with us. Take more of your calls at 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It feels good out there. What? Nah, it doesn't. Still too cold. But we are walking in sunshine. This is John and Gordy in the afternoon, and we're talking about Greg Bovino, who made some outrageous comments, and this was what he was telling his agents, his Border Patrol agents. It's all about them. It's not about Minneapolis.
Right.
And plus, arrest anybody that touches them. Of course, they provoke people, and they grabbed them, threw them to the ground so they could touch them.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's what they were trying to do anyway.
Right.
But I truly believe it was this video that was coming out that changed everything for Greg Bovino. That guy is really, really out there, and I think that Holman is trying to come in as this gruff, subtle voice, the man of reason, mm-hmm. the adult in the room, and I don't think that's working either because we know who, you know, Tom Holman is.
Yeah,
you
know? I saw the press conference.
Yeah. In one breath, he's saying, yes, we're going to try to tone it down and act responsibly here, and then he says, but we're really going to go after you.
Right.
So thanks. Thanks for the, the kind words.
Yeah, turning the page to a kinder Minneapolis. We have a call from Cindy in Appleton. Good afternoon, Cindy. What's up?
Well, I guess it used to be protect and serve meant to protect and serve the public, but apparently now protect and serve means to protect and serve their own.
Themselves. You know?
Yeah.
Yep. That's what it's been all about for all of these raids that they've had. I don't know. Yeah, I know that they're spending an awful lot of money on all of this stuff, Cindy. So that's one thing that just came out is Trump's sweeping deployment of the National Guard troops in all these cities cost taxpayers approximately $500 million.
Wow.
From June to December.
Mm.
Just a half a year.
Jeez.
Wow.
Okay.
And the Guard members get $95,000 per person per year. Mm. And that amounts to, I believe they've figured this out, it'll cost $1.1 billion in 2026, eventually sending all these National Guard troops throughout the U.S., blue cities, essentially.
Mm.
So, oh, by the way, the Republican National Committee is spending a lot of money on makeup. They spent $59,000 between April and November on media preparation makeup.
Wait,
makeup artists that apply all this stuff, all the goop, and maybe injections, who knows? But anyway, it's costing them $59,000 for about a half a year. In 2023, the former RNC chairwoman, Rona McDaniel, spent $17,000 on hair and makeup services alone.
Wow. Seems like a lot.
Yes. And those are our taxpayer dollars paying for that. You know, I hear often from the megas that they don't want to pay for some of these things that Democrats like, that liberals want to do. Mm. No one asked us, we don't want to pay for that stuff. But you know what? I don't want to pay for the RNC. I don't want to pay for any of this stuff. I don't want to pay the National Guard, $1.1 billion to go into blue cities and harass people and kill them.
Right. Yeah. That's
that's just me.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
No, it's our money.
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
Nice.
So anyway, that's a lot of money being spent. We talked about it here. How much money are these guys spending on stuff? It's just one thing after the next. It's
out of control.
Right? It is out of control. $400 million for the ballroom.
Go back to the hair and makeup, the first
thing
that you said. What was that? The one that was 59?
Yes, that was RNC.
RNC?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was for media preparation, they call it.
Okay.
So you pay two makeup artists. And they use all the clay and all of the injections they can, and then
Botox.
They send you out there. And the thing is, their excuse is that they're constantly out there in the press. This is a very open administration. And because they're out there always talking to the media, they always have their makeup artists with them, and they're always laying on makeup. I don't know.
Apparently, yeah.
Is this even possible?
Wow.
But maybe we should tell them, to tone down the makeup.
I find that's just, I can't wrap my head around that figure.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Seems like a ton of money.
Yes, it is a lot of money.
What kind of hairsprayer they use? okay.
Well, I don't know.
I'm flabbergasted. I don't know what to say about that.
Well, I don't know what, you know, we don't have a lot to say about it. They don't really tell us a lot about these things. This is from the Congressional Budget Office. They released these numbers. And, you know,
Lord,
this is well after the fact. So now we know kind of what to expect in the year to come this mm-hmm. year, you know, how much money they're going to keep spending on everything.
Right.
But, man. You know, when we find out, you know, all we have to do is keep watching the deficit go up and up and up. Right.
Yeah.
So
they're probably not going to release those numbers accurately either.
No.
Until much later in the game.
You know, I'm really surprised at the fact that no one talked about natural gas prices going up like they did.
Mm.
I mean, that was outrageous. You know, we had the story on the show a while back, and it was in our newscast. But, I mean, seriously, they're talking $100 more a month in your gas bill simply because natural gas prices went up.
Yeah.
While everything else, is it all going down? I don't think so. You know,
yeah.
Gas at the pumps going down just a little.
Right.
But it's not making up for your heating bill. That's for sure.
Man, yeah. It's expensive. Any way you look at it. All right.
Well, we've got our guest coming up in just a few moments. We'll be talking about the data centers and their disclosure agreements.
Yep. Tom Kircher from Wisconsin Watch coming up after the Midwest Food and Farm Report. It's John and Gordy. Stay with us.
That's right.
Shh.
His data centers are locked tight. You're not coming in. This is John and Gordy in the afternoon, and we're going to talk about the data centers, the non-disclosure agreements that are made in communities throughout Wisconsin, and we're talking to Wisconsin Watch reporter Tom Kircher. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, thanks, guys. Good to be with you.
Yeah. Good to have you back again.
So the title of your column is At Least Four Wisconsin Communities Signed Secrecy Deals for $1 billion Data Centers. And that's a lot. Those are, you know, for people that are not actually aware of the fact that their communities are planning data centers, it's a big surprise when they do find out. What is the reaction to a lot of these communities when they finally find out near the end of these agreements? Because they do reveal a lot of the details after they've come to an agreement with the political process in their communities. What's been the reaction, Tom?
You know, it has varied. I mean, in Beaver Dam, there was a non-disclosure agreement that kept the proposal. Mm-hmm. quiet for more than a year, but that's been approved and is now under construction. In contrast, in DeForest near Madison, there was not a formal non-disclosure agreement signed there, but the village government did take steps to keep that data center proposal quiet for more than 7 months. Mm-hmm. Eventually, that was revealed late last year. A lot of opposition grew to that, and actually just this week, that proposal was dropped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the thing is, let's talk about the Waupun data center, right? That was approved, correct?
Beaver Dam, right.
Oh, Beaver Dam. I'm sorry. I keep getting them mixed up. Do they have an energy source? Is there a problem with, you know, getting energy, or will it raise the local residents' bills up in that community?
I really didn't dig into the data centers themselves. This particular story really focused on how local governments kept the public out of the process.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Whether data centers are good for a community or not good for a community, the question becomes, you know, when should the public be informed that these proposals are in the works? You know, and again, we're not talking about a business opening up down the street, or even a Walmart supercenter or a shopping center.
Yeah.
These are data centers worth $1 billion or even up to $20 billion in Mount Pleasant. They affect land use, they affect water use, power use. And so the question becomes, you know, for something that's that transformative, when should the public be made aware that something like that is in the works?
Yeah. Well, you wrote here $57.6 billion in new Wisconsin data center projects are being proposed. That is fantastically high.
You know? That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. Yeah. You know, we were talking off the air about there was a column about, are these data centers making any money for the people building them? And it says here, U.S. tech giants spent $380 billion on AI-driven infrastructure in 2025 with no measurable return. Now, should we play this cut for you?
I think so.
Let's listen to it.
I'm having a hard time finding that one right now.
249? Okay. All right.
We'll keep looking.
We'll keep looking.
Okay, there we go. Sorry about that.
Oh, you have it. Okay.
Now we've got it.
All right,
let's
listen.
Here's 249.
OpenAI's projects from just the past 2 days add up to nearly half of the $2 trillion global AI infrastructure surge HSBC now forecasts. The scale is staggering, even for a company raising a record amount of private market cash. I spoke to OpenAI CEO Sam Altman in Abilene, Texas. He called this the largest infrastructure push of the modern internet era and acknowledged that the $850 billion buildout may look scary from the outside, but argued that it's the only way to keep up with demand that's already grown tenfold in the last 18 months.
And this is what it takes to deliver AI. AI, unlike previous technological revolutions or previous versions of the internet, there's so much infrastructure that's required. And this is a small sample of it.
Now, Altman insisted the building boom is in response to soaring demand, noting that OpenAI is growing faster than any business that he's ever heard of.
People will lose a lot of money, people will make a lot of money, but I am confident that long term, the value of this technology is going to be gigantic to society.
Okay, well, I don't know how gigantic it is. The CFO has reported no change across the board for labor productivity, decision-making speed, customer satisfaction, time spent on high-value tasks. No change. So, Tom, I mean, you know, we're not seeing a huge benefit so far with these data centers. And a lot of people are thinking we're going to have like a data center bubble burst here, all this money being spent by the tech giants. And then all of a sudden, everything just kind of collapses around it. What do you think about it? Is there any kind of feel for that from the people that have been planning these data centers in Wisconsin?
I mean, there certainly is a race, I guess you could say, to build data centers. As you mentioned, we tallied up $57 billion. That's for six projects that are proposed or under construction. There's a seventh one that figures have not been disclosed for. So there's no doubt it's a ton of investment. You know, it can be a longer term thing. We talked about Beaver Dam approving its data center. Construction has just begun on that. That's not supposed to begin operating until 2027. So in terms of returns, you know, that's somewhere down the road.
Yeah. Now, it seems to me that if they were able to disclose all this information about building these data centers early on, the residents might be more prone to agree with it or at least have some input in it while, you know, they discuss the details behind the scenes and then reveal those later on as well. Wouldn't it be better if they just came out and said something? Are there cities or towns doing just that in Wisconsin other than the non-disclosure agreement cities?
You know, that's a question that's really pending right now. Because of the backlash, part of it is just opposition to data centers, concerns about their impact on the environment, for example. Mm-hmm. But part of it is a backlash of, hey, how is it that this project worth $1 billion or more has been in the works behind the scenes for months and we didn't know about it? And that's generated opposition on its own. You know, it's an awkward thing. It's one thing if I want to buy land from you, and you and I make a non-disclosure agreement, it's a private transaction, we agree not to talk about it. You know, that's one thing. But when a local government, if a city or a village, for example, is signing a non-disclosure agreement with a data center company, you know, the local government is supposed to be looking out for the residents, informing the residents, doing what's in the public interest. And if it's signing a contract, agreeing to keep details of major, major projects secret, you know, that's a question.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, secrecy is one thing, but how about giving it a different name so no one really knows what you're doing? Like in Menominee, the Balloonist LLC, no one knew what that was, right? Is that part of the story up in Menominee?
That is part of what happens is, you know, rather than a recognizable name like a Microsoft coming forward with a data center proposal, there might be a limited liability corporation that's brand new and no one's ever heard of making a non-disclosure agreement with a local government. So in that case, even if someone became aware that there was an NDA, a person might not know what balloonist is. And the NDAs themselves typically talk about, we will keep details of this project confidential. There's not even a mention of data center.
There
you go. So that is another way that things are kept quiet.
Yeah. Talking with Tom Kircher from Wisconsin Watch, we've got a question for you here, Tom. Let's go to the phones. Catherine is on the line. Hey, Catherine, go ahead.
Thanks. Long-time listener, frequent caller. I just want to understand data centers just a little more. There's something that's not being said out loud, and I could be wrong that it's even possible that this is part of it. AI, of course, is what we all think this is about because it takes so much data and space and all that stuff. But isn't it also my wedding pictures? I mean, is it also cloud stuff that's going in? And it's the future, man. If we're not going to have pictures anymore, we're going to go all digital, right? We're not printing things. We're going digital for everything. This is what we have to put up with. This is the future. Am I crazy or am I wrong?
You can call her crazy.
Yeah, we've done that a few times. But
no, I mean, there's no question that these data centers are really transformative. Mm-hmm. That just is going to take up so much energy. They cost so much money to build. And again, that's why the questions become, when should the public be made aware? So to go to an extreme, if I'm Microsoft and I call the city of Madison one day and say, hey, we'd like to explore the possibility of a data center in Madison. Well, should that trigger an immediate public announcement, you know, with TV cameras and all the rest? Or is it somewhere down the road? Should a company have a little bit of time to work with a local community to see if a data center is even feasible? And then the public's brought in. So that question of that timeline is really in play here.
All right. Now, we have a tech guy who often comments here on the program. It's Cam, and he writes, also, they can't disclose early on because it established in other cases in law where things like data centers being disclosed in full detail can give competitors an idea of what they are doing. Based on power draw, size, location, water intake, et cetera.
Yeah, that's the incentive. So if you're a data center company, if I want to build a data center in one community or another, I don't necessarily want my competitor to know what I'm looking at, nor do I maybe even want different local governments knowing that I'm looking at more than one site. So from that perspective, you can understand the desire for confidentiality. For a local government, they want economic development. They might be open to a certain level of confidentiality too. But when you get so far down the road where there's a lot of interactions between city officials and a company over a period of months or even a year, and only then is the project even announced to the public that it exists, you know, that's a question.
Yeah. So you have listed Kenosha as one of the other locations besides Menominee. And Janesville, which is kind of interesting. Where do they propose to put their development in Janesville? Do you know of the location? Is it the old auto plant down
GM
there?
GM plant?
GM, yes.
Okay. Is it really?
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Well, that facility is sat empty for a long, long time.
Yeah, and Port Washington, that's already being built, is it not?
That's another one that's under construction, right? Mm-hmm. Port Washington did not use a non-disclosure agreement, so it does vary. I should mention that last week, a state representative did propose legislation that would outlaw non-disclosure agreements between a local government and a data center operator. Mm-hmm. So that's just in the very early stages, but it is evidence of part of the backlash of people finding out about these projects relatively late in the process.
And now there's a political movement basically to try to put data centers on hold for a while, right?
There is, yeah. Madison is talked about a moratorium on that. There are other people that would like to see that done on a statewide basis.
Yeah.
I haven't examined that, how practical or legal that might be. But again, that is evidence of, to some people, boy, this feels like a lot of information coming on very fast. How do we figure out what's right for our community?
Well, Well, Tom Karcher, thank you for joining us today, kind of clearing it up about what's going on with data centers in Wisconsin. At Wisconsin Watch, you can catch the article. It's a great article. It tells you everything you need to know. At least four Wisconsin communities signed secrecy deals for billion-dollar data centers. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. Back with more after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
One step beyond.
One step beyond. It's John and Gordy in the afternoon talking about these data centers all over. I mean, there's a map included in Wisconsin Watch with all the data centers that are being proposed, even one in Fitchburg. And we were looking at it. That one in Menominee, we believe, is on a reservation. Could be. We don't know for sure. Yeah. The article that I was referring to where they really haven't seen a measurable return on all of these data centers.
Yeah.
There's also this part of it. Is the grid ready for this?
Uh-huh.
And it isn't.
Okay. Really? That's the bottom line.
Yeah, the bottom line.
No is the answer.
And the fact is that we have put off updating the grid for so many years. Now,
here in Wisconsin?
Throughout the entire country.
Okay.
Except Biden had put in place, you know, improving the grid that we have, the electric grid that we have now. But I don't know if they've gone back on that, stopped funding it. I don't know what the Trump administration has done in particular with that. And it's pricing consumers out of their computers, buying new computers. Everybody said buying them now because, you know, you're not going to be able to afford the components that are in those computers anymore. I know my sons have been trying and saving up to buy some kind of graphics card, but they're finding it almost impossible.
So they're the data centers are really competing against the consumers.
Yes,
for parts.
Yeah.
Well, so they really want all the control of the data that they can possibly collect.
Yeah.
It seems.
Well, here's the thing, too. You know, these are billionaires working their magic, putting these data centers in all over.
Right.
Yet, why weren't they in front trying to connect everyone in the country to the internet?
Yeah.
That would have, I would think, have helped them as well.
Right?
Right?
Yes, to have internet service in the rural areas.
Why didn't they invest all of this money
in
fiber optic to every corner of the state?
Right.
Every state in the country. Why didn't they do it? Now they're building data centers everywhere.
Yeah.
But people still need connectivity.
Right.
And that's not happening.
Putting the cart before the horse.
That's exactly it.
Let's go to the phones. Joe is on the line. Good afternoon, Joe. What do you have for us today?
Great interview and really great subject. Thank you for that. And I hope you can return to it because it's not going away as an issue, heaven knows. So I did want to drop in one little absolutely delightful and smart situation that has come up, which is that Atlantic Magazine has nominated the city of Minneapolis for a Nobel Peace Prize, which I think is beautiful.
Oh, that is really, that's great news. Wow.
Isn't that a great idea?
It really is a great story.
And I don't know. I was looking at who can nominate for a Peace Prize, and it says only certain qualified people, and they mentioned, for example, members of national assemblies or previous winners, and then also university professors who are in law or social sciences. So I don't know if the Atlantic Magazine it would fit into that. I should think so, but I don't know whether they would be considered a possible nominator. So I would just suggest if anybody knows a professor or in social sciences or law that would be applicable for peace and conflict studies, maybe have them throw a little nomination in there. Deadline is January 31st. Tick, tick. So, people can pull things together quickly if they need to. If you wanted to, the article that the Atlantic Magazine has about why they chose to make this step is really beautiful and has some great thoughts in it. It's an interesting idea, too, that a city has never been nominated for a Peace Prize. But their contention is that these people have every right to have blown up into violence, and they have not. In this cold, frigid weather, they've been there for each other, and they've been just a beacon of hope and a great example of how to meet this god-awful aggression on the part of their government. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so you might want to take a look at the article, guys, and audience. It's really pretty good.
What is the title of the article? Do you have that?
Oh, I don't have it right in front of me, but if you just Google Atlantic Magazine, you could find it. Atlantic Magazine dominates.
We'll take a look.
The city for it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll find it.
That's
a great story. Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Take care, guys.
All right.
Thanks
for the heads up on that, Joe. I appreciate it.
Joe. Thank you. 855-752-4842.
Wow, that would be so fantastic to have a city nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize.
They should be nominated, yes.
Something else.
Mm-hmm. Coming up in
it'd be great revenge, too, against Trump.
Well, it would be, yes. That doubles the pleasure.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
No doubt. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get into our contest zone today. We have an overnight stay at Chula Vista in Wisconsin Dells up for grabs in our 3 o'clock hour. And we'll select a winner, and you and a few of your friends can go up there for an overnight stay. And we'll tell you more about that, but that includes water park passes and the whole works at Chula Vista in Wisconsin Dells. And a little bit later on, Rocker will be in the studio with a Max Inc. preview. That's in our 4:30 half hour.
Well, coming up really soon is Jim Santel. We've got a special edition with Jim Santel because what the country is trying to do right now, what the administration is trying to do right now, is track down all of the left-wing organizations out there.
Yeah.
And one way to do it is to attack all of those people, ICE observers, who are using software in order to alert other people, other parts of the community, that there are ICE officials in their communities.
Right.
We're going to talk about the legality of that. Can you do it? Is it possible?
Yeah, well, I think it is possible,
they're
doing it. Yeah,
they're using Signal,
right?
And people are getting in on Signal and turning these people in. They're supposedly doxing people. I don't see that happening on this side of the aisle, but maybe we'll find out. We'll talk to Jim all about what's going on Signal and the legalities of letting other people know that ICE is in their area.
Mm-hmm. And we'll take more of your phone calls too. We'll be back on the other side of news, weather, and sports. It's John and Gordy. Stay with us for this Thursday afternoon.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.